Allow all your thoughts to circle in and settle down. Try to be right here with the body, right here with the breath. Take some good long, deep in and out breaths. Think of the breathing as a whole body process. Give the mind an anchor. Don't clamp down on the breath. Don't clamp down on the mind, because then it's going to resist and rebel. But just try to be consistently aware of how the breath feels. And that there's always breath here in the body. There's the in and out breath. But there's also the breath energy that runs through the nerves, runs through the blood vessels. You can just be with that without break, without pause. Gives the mind a much-needed place to settle down, because otherwise it's jumping around, concerned about this, thinking about that, planning about this. And admittedly, there are a lot of dangers all around us. The wind this evening gave us just a little taste of what it can do. And there's no guarantee that it's not going to come back again this evening. In fact, the worst windstorm we've ever had here was in January. And the wind didn't obey the weather forecast. It was supposed to die down one evening and actually got worse that evening. When you think about the elements, wind, water, fire, earth, they're all pretty huge. And the fact that we've got this little body here, you realize it's so small compared to them. So of course there are things that we tend to worry about. There are a lot of forces all around us that are a lot bigger than we are. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to hang on to this body, or are we going to look for something bigger inside? That's what the meditation is all about. There is a dimension inside that's bigger than wind, water, fire, and earth, bigger than all the forces around us. But it requires skill to find that. That's what we're doing right here. We're learning the skills needed to find actual, genuine safety. Because if you hang on to the body, as the Buddha said, once you're hanging on to the body leaves you open to all kinds of things. So he says fists, clods, knives. That's just what human beings can do to you. So what we've got to do is learn how to use the body to get the mind to settle down and then get the mind to look into itself more deeply. So this is why we focus on the breath. It's of all the various elements in the world, it's the closest to our awareness. And it's one of the functions in the body that we actually have some control over. You can try long breathing, short breathing, heavy, light, shallow, deep. Experiment to see what kind of breathing feels best right now. This does involve some thinking. In fact, the factors of right concentration start out with direct thought and evaluation, as in the chant just now. Say, well, I thought we were here to learn how not to think. And there comes a point in the meditation where the thinking processes really do die down. But you have to learn how to use them first before you can put them aside. Use them wisely, use them skillfully. Because our mind is a very active mind. We don't just passively receive things, we're actively going out, shaping things. It was this tendency of the mind that latched onto this body to begin with. This is why we're here. And it tries to arrange the world so it's a good place to stay. And it works for a while. It works in some circumstances. In other circumstances, it turns around and bites you. But we can't stop. Just keep acting and thinking and planning and deciding things. unless we really train the mind to settle down. We train it by deciding first to stay in one place, and to think about that one place, and to examine it, evaluate it, so it becomes a better place to stay. If you force the mind to stay with an uncomfortable breath, it's going to rebel. So give it a sense of ease in the breathing. Allow the breathing to become refreshing. Gives the mind something good to do. And you begin to see the other activities of the mind, because of course as you make up your mind to stay with one thing, there will be other members of the committee that say, no, I'd rather think about this, or what about that that happened today, or how about tomorrow, or whatever. And if you don't resist these voices, you just kind of move along with them without thinking, without really noticing anything. And the mind gets bounced around from thought to thought, and sight to sound to smell to taste, just bounces back and forth, kind of like those diagrams you see of little particles in the air when they study Brownian motion. They just kind of move around randomly. Now those maps that you see of the Arctic explorers, the ones whose boats get caught up in the Arctic ice mass and just move around, and they move north and south and east and west and around and around and around, and just little squiggly lines. And for a lot of us, that's what our minds are like. We go for this, go for that, jump around here and there, and then end up not really going anywhere. And even though we have an active approach to our lives, we have lots of different agendas, lots of different plans. What the Buddha is recommending is that you set your sights on one thing, that bigger dimension inside, the dimension where there's no death, no illness, no suffering. And instead of allowing your map of your life to just be wandering and bouncing around, try to make it into a path. A path that goes someplace. So as you're sitting here and different intentions come up, learn how to resist them. Don't let yourself get bounced off the breath in some other direction. Think of the breath as your path. Because when you're with the breath, you've got right concentration, right effort, right mindfulness. And as you use the stillness of the mind to try to understand what's going on, then all the other factors of the path come together, and it does go someplace instead of just being bounced around by the currents and the ice flows. Your mind takes on a direction. You start peeling away the different layers of what one of the Ajahns, Upasakagi, called the different layers of film in the mind. The way the mind hides things from itself. Because we do that a lot. When you jump from one thing to the next, there's a little bit of blacking out. As you go from one thought world to the next thought world. It's one of the reasons why we bounce around so much. But if you make yourself really mindful and really alert so that you see right through the movements of the mind, that begins to peel away a lot of these layers of film. And you find all kinds of things in the mind. For a while you're just finding there's greed, aversion, and delusion in ways that you didn't really imagine or you didn't really admit to yourself. But you keep on digging deeper and deeper and peeling things away. And you finally do get to things of real value inside. There's a sutta where a monk is meditating and he gets a vision of some devas. And so we ask him, where does the physical universe end? earth, water, wind, and fire, how far do they go? Is there some place we can get beyond them? Do they have a border beyond which you can go? And the devas say, well, we don't know, but there are devas above us. They may know. So he gets sent up level by level by level, finally gets to the great Brahma and asks the great Brahma, where do these four elements end? And the great Brahma says, I'm the great Brahma, knower of all, seer of all. And the monk says, that's not what I asked. I asked, where do these four elements end? And the great Brahma goes to the spiel again. Finally, after the third time, he pulls the monk aside and says, okay, I don't know. But my entourage here would be very upset to think that there's something I didn't know. Go back to the Buddha and see what he has to say. So the monk goes back to the Buddha, and the Buddha said, you phrased the question wrongly. It's not where these things end. It's where they have no footing in the mind. In other words, instead of trying to go out and find the far boundary out there, you turn inside and look inside, and there's an aspect of the mind where these things just cannot go, where they have no hold. That's what we're looking for. So this path leads inward, but it also leads inward not to something small, but to something a lot bigger than these four elements, even though they are huge. The windstorms and floods, and wildfires, earthquakes can be enormous. But what we're looking for inside is a lot bigger. So try to bring your thoughts, your words, and deeds into line so they do become a path. Instead of someone were to draw a map of your life, it wouldn't be just bouncing around. It'd be going straight inside. That's where there's real harbor. That's where there's real safety. So use the breath here as your path into that dimension. Because that's where all suffering ends.